Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
I'm going to kind of probably start up maybe a, I know I'm not going to get this all done in one day, so I guess it'll be at least a two-week series, if not a few weeks. We'll see. I may just do it here and there. But let me start this way. This is a group activity, so you're going to have to talk to your neighbor for a second. What I like to do is I would like each of the generations, so if you are a boomer, a builder, you know, Gen X, millennial, talk with somebody near you. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to tell me one phrase from your generation that we be like, what does that even mean?
What's up?
What is it?
What's up?
What's up? Yeah, that was a big one in our time. So I need my dad's generation, the builders. What was something that the builders said? Do you know of anything that would be slang today? Who else is a builder in here? Come on, from movies. I think of, you know, do you remember when the term, man, that's sick, came in? Now, I know that was yours. That was mine. That's sick. And we're like, what's sick? Something sick? Who's sick? Shut up. Gag me with a spoon. That's another one. Yeah. Who wants to be gagged with a spoon? Ah, you know, that's like taking cod liver oil. Maybe that's what it came from. Gag me with a spoon. Come on.
Mint and groovy were from mine, you know.
What was the first one?
Mint.
Mint.
Well, that's really mint.
Oh, that's mint. Groovy. I know groovy, but mint. That's a new one.
That's a real mint car.
Ah. See, one generation says it's mint. The next one goes, oh my gosh, that's sick. It's mint. It's sick. Mint, sick. And fire? Fire, fire. My kids were telling me, you said one the other day. I'm like, what is that even? That's so slay. 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 Is that, yeah, so slay. Like, was Santa Claus slay?
One my daughter had was nasty.
Nasty, yeah, nasty. Oh, man, it's... Yeah, there's a couple comedians that go into things like this. They try to tell you and then how to say the word so you know which way it's going. That's nasty, you know. That's bad. That's nasty. That's good. You know, it's just all in the pronunciation. Psych. Oh, yeah, that was good. Slug bug, you know. Psych. My brothers, this had nothing to do with this. My brothers, I would be walking away. And they go, oh, Jay, come on back, come back. So, you know, being the young kid that I am, I'm come back. And they go, hey, how far would you have been if I didn't call you back? Like, that's not even nice. Problem is I'd fall for it all the time. So that has nothing to do with slang. Any other slang words? Claude, you haven't said anything from your generation yet.
He doesn't remember.
Well, this is good, Michael. Glad you're sitting behind him now. So. Sorry, say that again. Clueless. Clueless. It sounded like something else. I was like, do I repeat that? This is PG, Pascal. Oh, my goodness. Okay, what is my point? What is my point? Yeah, it's like, what is your point? You know, it's so easy to get into Christian culture. And you know that we have our own Christianese, right? We have our own Christianese. We're not... You know, it's down south, obviously, but down south has a lot, but we're pretty good. But, you know, I was trying to write some of them down. One of my people used to come in all the time. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. If I was any better, I'd be in heaven. I'm like, you say that every time. But during the week, during coffee, you're telling me how bad the situation is. I'm like, blessed, highly favored, and if I was any better, I'd be in heaven. Okay. This is one, I don't know if we've ever said, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I love this one. I'm gonna go bathe that in prayer. Gee, we never said that, but that, the one guy that was saying it, because I had to look a few of these up, I'm just gonna bathe you in prayer. He's like, that's just really awkward. Nobody's bathed me since my mama. It means to really go after that in prayer. I'm gonna bathe that in prayer. Oh, this is one maybe you said, oh, you're going on a trip, I'm gonna pray traveling mercies for you. Have you ever said that? Have you ever tried to look up what that means? You know, where's that from? Some I could find, but I'm like, I'm not sure where that one, traveling mercies. It's like today we're like, we're just going to pray that you have a safe journey, right? Traveling mercies. These are just things we've said in church. I thought of this one before. You know, before you used to say, oh, I'm going to my cell group, right? That was a big term, going to my cell group, small group, but we called it a cell group until basically 9/11 and terrorists had cell groups, right? All of a sudden a word changes really quick and you're like, let's not use that word anymore because it's bad. I like some of these. Christians don't have discussions, we share. Similarly, like this, Christians don't gossip, we share prayer requests, right? I got to ask prayer from my friend, blah, 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 but I'm not gossiping. Christians don't have parties, we have fellowships. And dinner parties are pop blessings, right? Pop blessings. Christians don't get depressed, we have a spirit of heaviness. Christians don't insult or say rude things to a brother or sister in the Lord. No, we speak the truth in love. However, if someone should mistakenly feel judged or rebuked, we say, hey, I'm just keeping it real. this is fun. If a Christian meets someone who is stressed or anxious, we know they simply need to let go and let God. Anybody ever say that one? Just you need to let go and let God. Never did. And then another terminology I was thinking of, for a new person, if we say, hey, come to the front, we just want to lay hands on you. Right? To us, we're like, oh, we're going to get prayer. People are going to pray for us. For an outsider, they're like, we're going to what? Do you know they have laws against this now, right? What's my point? Yeah, what is my point again? I want to start where we left off last week. And there's a reason why I'm saying all this. I'm so excited. Last week I shared, welcome back, guys. Good to see you. Last week I shared about one of the words that we received on that Friday night was being, this would be a house of grace. I love that. Isn't that a good word? Yep. Like, you want this to be a house of grace. How many would rather it be a house of law? House of grace. And we need to understand fully what that means. One of the things, though, I've been praying and asking the Lord for, and he's been really, I find myself thinking about this a lot. I also want this to be a house where people can come in and be healed, right? Physically, emotionally, spiritually. But I want them to be able to come in and understand. I shared with you that one of the gentlemen I met was talking. He was so excited, birthed, you know, some extra hope in me. I'm pretty hopeful. I'm not really negative about the future. But he was talking about how, you know, for so long we've been hearing Canada is a post-Christian nation. We truly are. We passed the, you know, 50% Christian, 50% unsaved a long time ago. I don't know what the stats are. I think it's like 20% now are Christian. Well, that puts us in a post-Christian society. But because we've been here for already a generation, that means we are entering a society that's not just post-Christian, they don't even know Christian. And he said, we're starting to see us entering into a pre-Christian society again, meaning that people are hungry. See, that there's a term right there, right? We're hungry. What are we going to eat, God? We are excited. People are excited to want to know, and they believe there is something out there. They don't know what it is, but they want to explore. That should excite you. Should smile. That is. That's amazing that people are like, listen, I've been living my life. It's not really going well. I feel like there's got to be more. And I've heard about Jesus and I want to give him a chance. See, a post-Christian nation is, I tried Jesus, I've left. Right? Pre-Christian is, I want to try. That's a good place to be. So we can look at it as negative or go, just, this is ripe. This is awesome. It's funny when you start thinking about the terms hungry, hungry. I'm hungry for the Lord. Last week, so I shared, I want to just open your Bibles again to Isaiah 61. So I'm going to tell you this. This is straight up what we're going after. I will read a scripture to you, but I want you to turn to Isaiah 61. This is not the scripture you're going to, but Ephesians 2:13 says this, But now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far off away from God. Once you were far off away from God. There is a whole civilization that is far off away from God. And our goal, and I want to share a few things again, our goal is to see people that are far off be able to come to be with Christ, right? Let's try that again. People that are far off, we want them to come to be with Christ, right? Okay, we're not doing church. We say we're going to like not do that anymore. We're going to like the service, kingdom mission. Okay, Isaiah 61. We read this very thing at the very end of the service. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us and me. That's good. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, for the Lord has anointed us to bring the good news to the poor. By the way, it doesn't just mean the poor in finances. It talks about the poor in spirit, the poor, the broken. He has sent us to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. That's what he's calling us to do. He has sent us to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted in his own glory. Man, we should be able to promise that that's what God wants to do in somebody's life. Right? Now, how many would love to see people that you know get the fulfillment of that scripture on their life? Yes? Children that you see are brokenhearted, that are going through things, how many would like to see them set free? Okay. How many would like our words to keep them from ever coming through the door? What I like to do is sometimes I like to throw our Christianese out the window, because sometimes people walk in, they're like, what is this place? Not here. Not as much here. We're actually pretty good. But sometimes they're like, I don't even fit in here because I can't understand. Back in the day when everybody wore a suit, I don't know if we've ever been there, but sometimes people come in and if they don't own a suit, you can't go to church. Right? If you don't know the lingo, you feel like you're an outsider. I want people to walk through the doors and feel 100% welcome. Now, here's the challenge. There are terms that we cannot throw out, but we have to begin to explain what they mean. So another term, this is 100% biblical, but you got to imagine, what I try to do at times, I try to put myself out of a pastor and into a non-believer that doesn't come to our church far away. And I think of some, brother, have you been washed in the blood? Now that is 100% a biblical term. And we're gonna go into that today. But you think about what that means to somebody that has never been to church. Just think for a second. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? This church is weird. Sometimes we have to be careful because the terms before we've explained them mean nothing to somebody. And we have to come around from a very different angle to try to help someone, because the term that we're trying that's so nonchalant, like what does it mean to be washed in the blood? Some of you are like, I have no clue. I was washed in the water, took a shower today. Praise the Lord. Washed in the blood. It's a very biblical term. This is something we're going to teach, luckily, on it, because nobody's raising their hand. What does it mean to be washed in the blood? Okay, so don't answer that right now, all right? What's another term we often would use? We'll pray this over our kids. We do as well. And again, biblical term. We cover you with the blood of Jesus. How many pray that? You should pray that over your kids. There's a biblical reason for it. But again, if somebody's up here and you're like, we just cover you with the blood of Jesus, they'd be like, what? There's a point that I'm trying, because we want to be able to reach people that come in. And I'm really a believer in two things. One, we got to start explaining things better, because people are like, what does that even mean? We got our church thing. That's why you'll hear me at times, I'll say the same word. I'd like to give, you know, let's have the team come up and give a prophetic word. Oh, what a prophetic word is, blah, blah, blah. So somebody that's like, What is prophetic? You know, I know prophetic, and I have prophetic from movies, and that scares me, and blah, blah, blah. So we have to begin to go, this is what it is. You guys following me? Because if not, then we're comfortable just being a little club, and nobody gets to come in. How many want that? No. No, we want to see people come in, and we want to see them begin to understand the terms that are so powerful. Give you another one here. This is one we're going to do today. I hope if you don't have communion, we're going to take it at the end. Let's take communion and eat of his body and drink of his blood. Now, that was so offensive back in the day that even the disciples and those that were following him were like, you want us to do what? But people that are removed from church would think the same thing. Do what? What are they taking out here? Especially if we just went, are you washed in the blood? Can you bring out the communion? Are you following me? Listen, sometimes we say things because we are so aware of it. And what I'm asking the Lord is, Lord, help us to explain things and be aware when people come in. And sometimes you use terms to help them bring them into the concept that we're trying to pray for. It is very important. Like the term cover, you know, Lord, we pray the blood of Jesus over our children. That comes from the very Exodus where they put the blood on the doorposts. And when the angel of death came and the blood was on the doorposts, whoever was behind the doorposts were safe. And by the way, the blood of Jesus we're going to talk about is the most powerful thing that there is. And I've realized as I started to prepare, we don't talk about it enough. So on one side, I'm like, we got to talk about the blood more. On the other side, I'm like, we just got to come about it in a certain way that people understand. Because you could pray about a lot or you can sing a lot of things, but the reality is all of us are here all of us are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Okay, let me read a couple songs for you, and I'll start oldest. I have two songs I want to. All right. First song, you guys will know this one. What can wash away my sin? Right? So that's an older song that we used to sing. It's actually 18-something. It's quite old. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Like, you just take that line. Oh, precious is the flow. Somebody be like, what, huh? That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This was written in a time where many, many people went to church and understood. We've lost the understanding of this. Need to get it back. For my cleansing, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then we go back into the course. Nothing can my sin erase. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Like, are you following? So church, we've got to get our praise back. I find it slipping at a quite alarming rate. And maybe part of it is we're forgetting what Jesus has really done. Because when you read this, nothing can erase, right? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That should make us all go, oh my God, thank you. Right? Okay, so it'd be like that's kind of like these guys. No house, no house, no house, no house, no house. Hey, I'm going to give you a house. Oh, don't worry about paying it all off. I'm just going to, you know, pay the interest. What? Like, that's a shouting opportunity. Right? So if you went into your bank and you have a massive debt and you walked in there and they went, actually, you know what? Somebody paid it off for you. You don't have to worry about it. You can be debt free. How many would be like, that's fantastic? No, you wouldn't do that. But we forget every day when we sit here to go, I had debt, massive debt called sin. If you're like, well, I wasn't that bad. It doesn't matter how bad or how good you were. Because in the eyes of Jesus, we all fall short, right? So when you look at the debt, you're like, thank you, Jesus, you paid it. How was it paid? The blood of Jesus. And we'll get into that. Nothing but the blood. Not of works till all of grace. His all of grace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's awesome. Now let me read something to you that is a modern version of something very similar. This came out a couple years ago. I love this. Oh, everything changed. It's getting hard to recognize the person I was before I encountered Christ. I don't walk like I used to. I don't talk like I used to. I've been washed from the inside. Hallelujah, I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood. Hallelujah, I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood. I cannot explain, but nothing's more real than this. In the presence of God, oh, what my heart experienced. When my shame hit the wayside and my sin met the Most High, I've been washed from the inside. Then it goes through the course. And then it goes this little bridge. This is the bridge. That was a little instrumental. It's never been about performance, perfection, or striving for acceptance. Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. It's never been about deserving or earning. It's a gift that's freely given. Let me tell you, it's only about the blood. Oh, does anybody want to be holy and righteous, purified and spotless? Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. Does anybody want to be worthy, forgiven, justified, really living? Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. That should make you go, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And make you sing a little louder. And we often forget. We forget what Jesus has done. Or maybe it just becomes such a side thought because of the troubles in our life. And yet if we stop to think about it, look at what we have. Right? Righteousness. We're forgiven of sin. The peace that he brings. Let me go back to that song. No more striving. Do you remember the days of striving? Anybody grew up mainline? You didn't know about grace? Right? So you're always looking over your shoulder thinking, am I good enough? Like, do you remember those days? I think it's easy to forget because I remember even growing up, I would beeline it to the altar every time they did an altar call because I was never feeling good, never feeling right, never feeling enough. You know, I don't know how many times I did an altar call and repented at the stairs. And then I realized I have a works-based mentality, not a grace-based mentality. All right, another scripture. So we figured out what we need to do because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Turn to Matthew 28. You guys will know this one very well. Matthew 28, 18. Matthew 28, 18 says, Jesus came and told his disciples. Okay, so just to back up, we know that we are anointed to do these things. Now Jesus says, now that we're anointed to do these things, because he said that, then he says, go. Jesus came and said to his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and then of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So now we know that we're anointed to go, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to bring the message to the poor. And then he says, listen, tag team, you're it, because I'm leaving. But I'm going to send somebody, and he's going to feel a whole lot like me, but he's not going to be out. He's going to be inside of you, called the Holy Spirit. And you get to now go make disciples of all the nations, healing them, setting them free, making them oaks of righteousness. You following me? Acts 1 verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are now the ends of the earth, so it means wherever we go. You could say it from your house, to your workplace, to the place you go on vacation. Go make sure you bring my presence. Okay? Following it. So what I want to do as we look at even the topic of the blood is begin to go, first of all, why is it powerful? We should really know that. Second of all, how do we talk to people without sounding so weird that people are freaked out? Right? Because sometimes we go for things, you know. A lot of these things I think were down south. I'll have to put one video on. I was trying to go to bed and I started to laugh. Krista was listening too. Because we, you know, they're praying for somebody. And he says, I just pray traveling mercies over you and as we travel. And the other guy goes, I echo what he just said about traveling mercies, Lord. And then somewhere else they go, I echo what he echoed. And I'm like, if anybody's listening, we make no sense whatsoever. Traveling mercies, I echo what he echoed of the echo. And there are a lot of southern things. That's why I'm trying to do a bit of an accent. He even said, oh, I bless your heart. And they said one of those, depending on how you say it, oh, I bless your heart, or oh, I bless your heart. Could mean two totally different things. Okay, so now we're going to go, I read the scripture, I didn't finish it. I want to now go to Ephesians 2:13. I read it, so now you get to turn there with me. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God. But let's finish it. But now you've been brought near to him through what? The blood of Jesus. So we have this term that is so important that people that are far from him, if they ever want to get close, have to be able to come in to hear about the blood of Jesus. Are you guys awake today? Yes. You guys seem very sleepy. Turn to your neighbors, they wake up. It's raining outside, not inside. Like, are you guys getting that? If you're far away from God, the only way you can get close to God is through the blood of Jesus. So it's not a term you can kick out of the church just to be seeker-friendly. But certainly telling somebody, are you washed in the blood when they walk through the doors? You'd be like, I'm out. See you. Bye-bye. So there's got to be verbiage and language to get people there to understand, listen, you will never be right with God except receiving the cross. And because you receive the cross, you're actually receiving the blood of Jesus. And we'll go into why that is so important. And that's what actually brings you close to God. All right? Okay. I'm just going to assume you're following me. Okay, turn in your Bibles. Where does it all start? Turn your Bibles to Genesis. Do you know that it can't start, it seems like, without the book of Genesis? Have you ever asked yourself, why the blood? That's a question. Have you ever asked yourself, though, why blood? Like, really, when you think about it, it could have been other things, but he, from the beginning of time, used blood. Life is in the blood. Any nurses here? Or in the nursing profession? Anybody? I see a hand, sister. See what that's, isn't that? I see that hand, sister. Brother in the Lord. Holy cow. Name something. Two coffees and up early. All right. I know, it's culture. If you turn on some southern preachers, I have a hard time not laughing. I know it's cultural, but when everything has to end with a ha, praise the Lord, ha, I'm like, I don't get it. But what's funny is then they go out to order. I'd like a cheeseburger and fries, please. They don't go out and I'd like a cheeseburger and fries, ha. If they do, I don't know what, anyway. I'm sorry. Tell me something about the blood that you know of. Why is, life is in the blood. How many days can you live without food? Anybody know? I think it's like, what, 3-4 weeks? Without supernatural sustaining? At least 40. How long can you live without water? I believe it's 3 days. How long can you live without oxygen? Three to, if you've trained yourself a little higher, but not very long. How long can you live without your blood? You can't. Life is in the blood. You can't like drain your blood and go, I'm gonna hold, I can do it. You're dead. Right? Life is literally in the blood. What does the blood do? Tell me some things that you know the blood does. Carries oxygen. The heart pumps your blood all throughout your body. Yep. Cleans out toxins. Awesome. What's that? Feeds your cells. Carries nutrients to your cells. Creates scabs. You guys are like knocking it out of the park. Absolutely. Makes a mess. Is that what you said? You gotta keep me on my toes, Michael. Yes, it does make a mess, you're right. Fights infection, yeah, brings immunity, absolutely. You guys are almost getting all of them, I think. I had to look it up. You guys are smarter than me. Okay, so we said primary, the vital fluid brings nutrients to the body. We said that, delivers oxygen, takes away waste, filters and cleans the liver and kidneys. Blood carries immunity, we talked about that. Blood regulates your body temperature. I didn't know that, it's really cool. So with all that in mind, that's just the blood alone, and there's probably so many more things. This is just like a layman's terms. How many realize blood is life and so important? So if Jesus is gonna pick something, and this is not just, all cultures seem to have an understanding that the blood is important. And the one of the things we have to realize as you look through the Bible, that Jesus will often use things, like when we get to Abraham, we're gonna look, I don't have a lot of time, when we look at Abraham, we're gonna wonder why would Jesus or God do it a certain way with Abraham and covenant? Well, he would do it a certain way because he needed to do something that they understood at the time. He can't just pull something out of the, you know, well, here's an iPhone, you know, 6,000 years ago. Like, he had to use something that they would understand. Okay, so in Genesis, turn there, you guys there? Turn to Genesis 3:21. Just to fast forward the story, they're in the garden. They love Jesus, or they love God, Jesus, tree of life. They make the mistake. They eat of the tree. The devil comes to deceive them. They eat. And now they went from being completely naked, absolutely unashamed, to realizing I am naked and I'm a sinner. How horrific, right? To go from one moment where you are completely, literally set free. You are not a captive, to I am now a captive. Have you ever thought about how, like, that is a moment in time that we have been trying to fight to get out of forever. Because we have the blood of Jesus that sets it straight. You guys follow me? But most of us still live over here where we're tormented and condemned. And okay, so what happens? You have, they're naked, they are ashamed, and he says this, verse 21, and the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. This is the first time blood was shed for humans. Doesn't mean that blood wasn't shed to eat or anything like that. It means that God came, shed blood to give them a covering for their nakedness. So right off the bat, we have this understanding that this blood has to be shed, something has to die, and in that, the covering is now covering their nakedness. Like, this is going to become huge throughout all of the Old Testament. How do we cover our nakedness? So important. Just nod every once in a while, right? But it's the first time that we see the blood shed. Turn with me just to, I wanted to share this earlier and I forgot. Turn with me to Leviticus 17:11. Leviticus 17:11. This is the New Living Translation. It says, for the life of the body is in the blood. Then it says, I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. That's the Old Testament, and look how powerful that is. I think we need to be asking the Lord, Ephesians 1, Lord, bring us revelation of this. So we can really, truly get excited about, like, if we come in here and we're just, like, focused on what happened during the week, and I'm going to praise him whether my week was good or bad, we miss worship. A lot of times, I know I'm struggling with that. I'm like, man, I've had fights in the car, you know, when the kids were small and everybody's agitated and you get in here like, I don't really want to worship. I'm just frustrated. But that's not why we're worshiping. We don't worship because our day went well or our week went well. We worship because it's like, I've met the Savior of the world. Like, as tough, and we have to sometimes just go back to this simple fact, as much as we lost a dear brother in the Lord, do you know where he is? He is in the very presence of the one that we worship. And if he truly could talk to us from heaven, he'd be like, why are you sad for me? No, we're sad because we miss him. Like, but don't be sad for him, because he's like, woohoo! That's like people have been called back. They're like, what are you? Let me die. I think of, it was Ron. Wiggles with different ones where they're like, just let me go. Like, way better up there. Bye-bye. Checking out. Yeah, it's us that miss, and it's horrific. But he is in the presence of the very God that we worship. Amen? Amen. For the sake of time, I'm just going to go through the story. The next story I want to look at. Now, I want, again, try to always put yourself in somebody's shoes where there's no history of the Bible. So God shows up to Abraham. Abram. There's no, other than the garden, there is no, and by the way, this book hasn't been written yet because Moses writes the book. So this is the story later on that's passed down. So there is no book to read. They don't read anyway. And God shows up to Abram. God of the universe shows up to Abram and says, hey, listen, I'm going to make you the father of generations. I'm going to bless you beyond blessing. It's going to be incredible. And he's like, I'm Abram, I have no kids. Now you're going to call me Abraham because he wants to change his name, which means father of nations. I am childless. I am houseless. Right? It wasn't 15 years. I think it was, what, 30-something years? I can't remember offhand. But it wasn't 15. It was a long time. I'm going to make you so prosperous, and you're going to have children beyond children. And so he, you know, let's not jump into the rest of the story because he tries to do it in his own strength. So God has to come along and he has to say, okay, listen, I have to make a covenant with you. I've given you a promise. So the only thing you know, because this was common, we will make a covenant. And for them, this was not weird. For us, this is weird. We will take five animals and three of them we will cut in half and I will spread it out. And obviously where we spread it, there will be blood and we will walk through it together. Because it will be a blood covenant. And when you make a blood covenant, it basically means if any one of us break this deal, what happened to the animals will happen to us. But they understood something had to die for us to live, for this agreement to work. Now, the cool thing about that story, because this is the covenant that we live in today, you know, Abram is waiting, and so he falls asleep. And God's like, you know what? I'm going to take Abraham out of this equation. I'm going to swear to myself. I'm going to walk through on my own behalf. Therefore, it's not on Abraham. It's all on me. Like, get that for a second. So Abraham's like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm supposed to walk through. This is a covenant. He's like, no, I got it. It's all on me. So they're walking through the blood that signifies we have made a covenant together. If one of us, oh, actually, it's just me now. If I fail, it's on me. And this will happen to me if I fail. So right away, in the understanding of Bible times, the blood begins to play an incredible role to go, life is in the blood. Something has to die to cover you. Something has to die to have a covenant. Powerful. So, you know, when we say things about the blood, we have to bring people to understanding. And I just keep going back to us as a body to go, are we worshiping because we truly understand where we sit and stand? Okay, let's just go to square one. Look at the nation we live in. You're like, oh, all the problems we have. Go to another nation and come back and go, running water. Somebody I know posted a true picture. She's in Peru. She posted a telephone pole with thousands of wires going to one telephone pole. You know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I thank you for the order that our nation has. Like, I really appreciate order when I see a picture like that. Her comment was, if your telephone goes out, how do they know which line to fix? Because chances are, you guys are saying, most of them were put up themselves. They're like, I'm just going to climb the pole and put another wire up. They won't even notice. I'm thankful for the nation that we have, even with all the flaws, right? We're not in some cave hiding, worried about our life, right? And it all starts because of the blood. And that's the greatest thing. And I'm not going to go any longer because I can't get into my next point. Why don't you stand? Good stand. Why don't you sit? I have a hard time remembering when I do it at the end. If you do not have a communion, please, can you raise your hand? I don't have one. Thank you, sir. I see that hand, brother. I see those hands. It's just funny. It's what's actually interesting is that every church develops its own culture. If you go to Bethel, I'm trying to remember the word that they use, and if you sit there long enough, you begin to use the word just by osmosis. That's good. That's so good. If you ever have sat in Bethel and watched, you'll always hear somebody go, oh, that's so good. That's good. That's so good. You know, I don't know what word we use. We don't use words here. We use nods. We're going to create. Oh, no, Pastor, I know you're a guest speaker here, but the dozing off is a good thing. We've used that as our, just joking. Yes, yeah, sick. Oh, man, it's sick. Try to remember the story. Somebody went in, I think it was Dan Tamburo, where they didn't tell Dan, and again, I hope this is not made up, somebody that I know, that actually it's opposite to our culture, so this is good, and this is bad. And so, was it Paul Shiro? He's preaching, and they're all going, and he's like, what is wrong with my sermon, my scriptures? They never told him that this is good. Oh, so good. Okay, so let's pretend right now we live in Abraham's day. We're just going to take communion based on the two things that we've understood today, okay? First of all, we know that blood had to be shed that we're going to represent to cover our nakedness. Now, it gets way better than that, but aren't you glad that if nothing else, that your sin could be covered? Right? Like, I'm thankful we don't walk around with billboards on us, right, of every mistake that we make. I am very thankful that the Lord, and we're going to learn, I'm sure you know, he doesn't just cover our sin, he obliterated our sin once and for all. So I'm thankful that if nothing else in Abraham's day, well, he covered us. And then we have the fact that this blood also represents that he made a covenant. And by the way, the Abrahamic covenant is very similar to the new covenant, that it's all on him. Like, we're going to fast forward a little bit to the Mosaic covenant, and it's not all on him. I'll stay here if I had to, right? It's all on him. So, Lord, as we take communion today, Lord, I thank you, and we're going to learn, hopefully, or remember how incredible it was that your body was broken for us. Your body died on the cross, not just for us, but you literally took our place. Wow. Help us, Lord, to remember what you have done. Lord, I pray that like the Israelites, they would do it once a year to remember, once a year to have their sins taken away. Lord, we do this way more often, so we should be way more aware of it. And because we're more aware of it, we should be grateful and more thankful. So Lord, I pray a revelation Father God, the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon us. Would you, Father God, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we begin to have a greater understanding of the body and the price that you've paid. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you. I started speaking to my... It's not a microphone. Yeah, I was speaking into my communion. Lord, I thank you. We've already sung those songs or read through them. Lord, I thank you for the blood that... Lord, a red stain that makes us white as snow. Lord, that you purify us, that you, because of the blood that was shed, give us righteousness for our unrighteousness. Lord, you destroyed the need to do works to try to become right with you. No more performance. Lord, I pray that that would get our shout back. We become so grateful for who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, please stand. Please take my poking of fun, not as a, we all have our own things. You go to any family has a culture. Jason and Dana, Jason, your family has a lot of culture, I'm sure, right? From Malta. Would you pray that over the next few days? If you don't know it, turn to Ephesians 1, I think it's 17 or 18 starts, where it says the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pardon? 21? 17 to 21. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because I think once we just begin to taste of it, you know, even Karen, I think Claude, you said it. Karen, you said it the one day when you were preaching too, when you had the revelation. And God, you got so excited. We all need that. That's not just meant for somebody that comes up here to preach. We all need it when you read the scripture to go, oh my gosh, I've never seen this before. So even just starting to research the blood again, I'm like, I know this, but why am I not more excited about it? Because it's easy to forget. It's easy to have taglines, right? Are you washed in the blood? Now, we don't say that, but again, it's a tagline and it's like, ah. Oh, I gotta remember, like, this is powerful. So Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the power that is in it. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you wanna open our eyes to understand it more so we don't just say things that it just makes us come alive. So we say, Lord, would you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Lord, we ask you to bless Abby and Matt now that they're married, to begin their new life together. Lord, I pray as they go, Lord, they would have rest. They've had such a busy season. We pray you give them rest. And Lord, we thank you for that beautiful marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.